Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3 is begun. Pete and Apples will join us in a couple minutes. We'll talk some NBA basketball, get to the draft. And I'm with Brad here. I like his different note. He said on a different note, why in the hell in beach volleyball do they need to high-five each other after every single play, even after they screwed up? You know what? I feel the same way about basketball. It's stupid, isn't it? Basketball is the dumbest like that as well, where in between free throws. Like, why does everyone have to go over and, like, touch the guy's hand after? Well, like seriously. Like, you wouldn't even do that with a 4-year-old child. Like, a 4-year-old child, like, if you were standing there and you had a parrot, you'd be like, yeah, I'm 4 feet away. We're good. I don't need to come and touch you here. All right? Oh, no, you're good. Everyone reaches over and they got to slap the guy's hand. I'd put my foot down if I was in the NBA with Bando. I'd be like, listen, if anyone comes near me, I'm going to punch you in the face. I don't need to shake your hand after a missed free throw, all right?
I don't understand the phenomenon. I agree with you. The beach volleyball, I've seen it. Let's go after a miss hit. It misses the serve wide. Yeah, let's go. We got it. All good. Miss a free throw. That's all right, guy. You got this. You're good. No problem. No. Way to go. Whatever. You missed a free throw.
That's what you're supposed to do. Whatever happened to what you're really supposed to do? You're supposed to give your teammate a dirty look after a bad play.
Yeah.
Like, none of this, like, you know, I'm dead serious. Like, you know what I mean? So you support your teammate, but, like, it's like, yo, bro, not this air five. It's like, yo, bro, we need to hit these free throws, huh? Like, you know what I mean? That's what I would say to my teammate. Like, I wouldn't be shaking his hand. Like, if, like, you know, I don't care if it's Giannis, where, like, some players in on, he's hitting, missing free throws. I would just sort of tell him, yo, be honest. We need to hit these, huh? Like, sort of, like, these are real, huh, bro? We got to get these. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, now it looks like a celebratory touch of the hand. Exactly. Oh, it's like we're rewarding failure here.
We reward everything now, though, Babato. Like I said, so, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I see Simone Biles. I don't want to go back into Biles stuff. Let's just stick to Carolina. Buddy.
No.
But
yeah.
Biles is courageous. She's courageous for doing what she did. Katie Ledecky's courageous for attempting to win all the – everyone's courageous now then. Everyone can't be courageous. like we've really gotten to the point where it's like, if you quit, that's okay, you're courageous. If you win a gold medal, you're courageous. It's like, no. Like, there's – not everyone's equal. There's losers. I hate to say it, but Simone Biles was a winner before. Now she's a loser. She didn't win.
So Nancy Kerrigan was courageous. She got attacked by Tonya Harding, kept on skating.
But it doesn't mean Simone Biles is a loser in life. I mean, she lost the competition. You know what I mean? That's simple as that. It's just the competition. That's it.
Yep.
She's a great person. Like, I had no people. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, but everyone can't be courageous all the time. All right, so you know what was courageous? Yeah, being a quarterback for Adam Gase. So, see, that's the segue, but that's why I'm a pro, man. So here comes the affiliate. Man, never ends. All right, so we'll have like 3 minutes on the other side. I'll throw it right into you. Hold on, here we go. Here we go. We're going live again, baby. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We got Ian Cameron here for a couple more minutes, and then we're going to get into the NBA draft with Pete Annapolis on the other side here. So we're talking about the Carolina Panthers. And I'm surprised, Bando, to hear how high you are on these guys. You like the Panthers this year, and you mentioned a division. So the Atlanta Falcons are kind of a mess in rebuilding, but I don't know if Carolina are better than them still. And you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I think are overhyped coming into the year. And then conversely, you had the New Orleans Saints, who I was kind of high on, but now whatever. Speaking of coaches being disappointed, you saw Sean Payton Babado say Michael Thomas is an idiot. He should have got surgery a long time ago. Like, I don't know,
because he could miss some of the first part of the season, right? Yeah.
So the Saints now are going to be without their best wide receiver. They got Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill. But so you like the Panthers over 7.5, 8-9 then.
What do we? Yeah, it's not that I love Carolina, but I think they can get over 7.5 wins based on the schedule and the improvement. I think we'll see. Matt Rhule does show improvement going back to his college days. Temple and Baylor, both of those teams improved in year two under him. The defense was bad all right last year. Bridgewater was up and down. The offense was capable at times, but the defense was bad, especially early. But second half of the season, they got better. That defense started to come around. Derek Brown was good on the defensive front. Brian Burns was a great pass rusher. He's back. Gross Matos, if he stays healthy, is good. They brought in Hassan Reddick. I like the secondary was awful last year, but they signed A.J. Boye from the Broncos. He's still a good corner if he's healthy. They draft J.C. Horn from South Carolina. It was a great draft pick in the first round. I think that, and look, Matt Rhule's a defensive guy. I think that will be an improved defense. The question is, can Darnold do anything? And Darnold's reunited with a good O.C. as well there, Joe Brady. You know, that guy knows a thing or two about really good offensive scheming, play calling, put Darnold in a situation to succeed. I've got questions about Atlanta, the Saints. You know, let's see what Hill or Winston do. And the defense kind of broke down a bit for the Saints down the stretch. Tampa is still great, but, you know, maybe a little overvalued. I think there's an opening in the NFC South for Carolina to get 8-9, 9-8, get over that win total. I think they'll be a profitable point spread team as well. I think they'll be a team you could maybe cash some tickets with. They lost a lot of close games, a lot of single-score losses.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Last year, too.
Yeah. And, you know, something you said, too, the quarterback play was terrible in the second half of the season. Like you said, Bridgewater was good at the start. He got hurt. He hit the wall. Great stuff, Ian. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be us. We'll catch up with you Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Gabe.
Babano, Pete Annapolis joins us. We're talking NBA basketball. Yeah, that's right. The draft tomorrow. Bring it.
You're listening.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I am Gabriel Morenci. As we count it down, we've got the start of the National Football League preseason 1 week away, but we are now less than 24 hours from the NBA draft, man. There's been a lot of stuff going on, man. We've got Gold Cup, we've got Olympics, we've got NFL, we've got the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and we've got the one and only Pete Annapolis, RDS Television, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen, steps up and in. Always a pleasure, Pete. How you doing, my man?
Doing excellent. Living a dream, Gabe.
All right, let's do this thing, Pete, because there's a lot of stuff I want to get to. So let's start off. A lot of people, you know, casual basketball fans, NBA fans that don't watch a lot of college basketball, they'll wonder about these players coming into the league. So when people ask you, and I see people in our chat wondering why Cade Cunningham is the slam dunk number one pick in this year's draft. He's 60-1 right now at FanDuel to be the top pick by the Detroit Pistons. What are your thoughts? What do you tell people about Cade Cunningham and why he's the number one pick?
Cade Cunningham has great size. He's 6'7", extremely long. He plays the point guard position. He can play the combo guard position. He's very versatile. He can see over a defense. He can get to the basket. He could score for himself. He could facilitate. He could distribute. He could play defense. He's a leader. He's unselfish. And he's athletic. And he does everything that you want in a guy that size. And when we look at some of the great players that have come through the NBA over the last 25 years, you know, when I mentioned, you know, the Jordans, the Kobes, the Vince Carters, the LeBrons, the Durants, you know, Giannis's, these guys are over 6'7", 6'8". And Cunningham has that size. Luka Doncic, another guy, 6'8", point guard. He has that similar ability to take over a game. He's effortless. And he's a guy that, you know, went to college, bought into the system, played his role, didn't really just go to college just to play a little bit of ball and shoot the ball 30, 40 times a game. He trusted his teammates, played them within the system, and NBA scouts, NBA general managers, NBA owners are absolutely in love with him. So is Nike. They signed him to a record deal. He's going to be somebody that's going to really be a transformative player in the NBA for the next 10 to 15 years. He'll play for Dwayne Casey in Detroit, Motor City. Let's see what Coach Casey and the Pistons could do to really revitalize that franchise. It's a slam dunk number one pick.
Love what you just said there, Pete, about him buying into the system, trusting his teammates, and not just being an individual. He went there to be part of the team. So we'll keep it moving because I want to get to as many players as possible. So it's pretty, you know, according to the odds makers right now, and they wouldn't be setting these massive numbers if they didn't believe it to be true, Jalen Green right now, minus 550, Pete. So he's basically a 5-to-1 shot to be the second pick. They've got him locked in right now coming from the G League, the Ignite. He skipped college, and he'll be the first big-time player to skip college, play in the G League, and then get drafted, you know, in the top five, in the top three like this. Jalen Green looks like it's a slam dunk to Houston, and I guess they Fertitta figures, I replace Harden with a new score, right? What's your take on Green?
Yeah, Houston needs a lot of pieces. Obviously, they're in a complete rebuild, but Jalen Green would probably be the number one pick in about six out of the last 10 NBA drafts. He's that talented. He has everything about him that says superstar, the confidence, the swag, the athletic ability. He can get to the rim. He plays over the rim. He'll finish with authority. He played in the G League. He decided to make some money, but he decided to play against some pros. And he was the best player on the court every single time he touched the basketball. He's a guy that could be a franchise player for the next 10 to 15 years. Again, the only question is the jump shot going to be as consistent as some of the superstars that I mentioned previously and some of the young, great players that we have today? If that jump shot is half as good as we think it is, he's going to be a superstar. If it is as good as the potential to be, he can go down as one of the greats. That's how talented he is. He understands defense. He's been through the wars. He's been really mentored the right way. This guy is just phenomenal. And I'll tell you what. Detroit is seriously considering taking him number one. If it wasn't for Cade Cunningham, they probably would. They'll probably go with the safe bet because you can't pass up on a Cade Cunningham. But when the people that I speak to, if you look at Green and Cunningham, I think potential-wise, Green could have a little bit more upside, and that's a scary thing.
Pete Annapolis kicking with his RDS television basketball analyst, longtime college, is a basketball lifer, but former assistant with UMass as well. So Jalen Green locked in to be the second pick. Now we get to the third pick, Evan Mobley, who's somewhat of a polarizing figure for some, or they wonder where does he exactly fit in the NBA. I like this kid a lot. And look, he's already 7 feet tall. He's 20 years old. He weighs 215, 220 pounds. He can build some muscle on him as we go along. You know, he can already dunk. He can already block shots. He's pretty good in the paint, too. He's pretty athletic. Like, he's, you know, like, he can cut and slash in the paint. He's not a great jump shooter. That could be developed along the way. But you talked about size and the modern NBA right now, and this guy has it. And he's not a slow, like, slumbering seven-footer. He's athletic as hell. Do you like Evan Mobley? And you know, this is where the draft gets interesting, but it seems like the Cavs are going to go with Mobley, even though they have Jared Green already. Is he too good to pass up is the interesting question, and they already have a bunch of guards there, so maybe they don't want Suggs. But what's your take on Mobley? And I think the guy's a future NBA All-Star.
I think he is. And I think when you look at the NBA today, the big guys are not as prevalent as they used to be, right? I'm glad that DeAndre Ayton got to show his skill set. And I think that he showed that, you know, he wasn't a bust being a number one pick, because when you had Luka Doncic and Trae Young in the same draft, you're like, how did you pass up on those two guys? I think Mobley has the same type of touch around the basket. He's more athletic than Ayton. He's a guy that can run up and down the floor like a gazelle. He could sprint down there and get. He could finish above the rim. He's got a nice touch. He could shoot some free throws. He could shoot the three. But defensively, the wingspan, the ability to time shots, not only going to the rim, but on jump shots, and he could alter and contest so many of them. He played well at USC. He, a lot of pressure. Being a potential number one pick, I think that they have to make the decision, Cleveland, is do you draft for need or you draft the best player available? I think with him and Suggs, it's pretty close. It looks like, you know, Mobley might be ahead of Suggs. I don't know, Gabe. I think the way the NBA is going today, with all the respect I have for Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid and DeAndre Ayton, I mean, this game is dominated by wing players. And I think a guy like Suggs, I absolutely love. I would probably go Suggs number three. But if I'm a Raptor fan, I'm feeling pretty good, because it looks like Suggs going to fall to us at number four if you're a Raptors fan. But Mobley, again, is so young. These players, the finished product is going to be in about 7 or 8 years. It's so difficult to predict what player they will become. But the physical tools are there. The work ethic is there. And I think that he's definitely will be a good fit with Cleveland. They need a guy that can protect the paint and be a scorer. They got some good guards. In Sexton, let's see what Cleveland really wants to do, if they can get back to being relevant once again.
You know what I like about Mobley as well, you talked about, is, you know, on the defensive end, but he's a competitor, Pete. He's a competitor, second-generation athlete, you know, father, a professional athlete, and he's got a little bit of a mean streak to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not like a soft, big kid, and, you know, he's been treated like this and that. No. You know what I mean? His brother's tough as hell. He could have went to bigger schools. He went to USC. Like, the kid, I think he's got some lunch pail in him here. And I love a combination of a basketball player that's got lunch pail, blue-collar habits, and five-star blue-chip skill. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it's just a great combination. And as you stated, as a Toronto Raptor fan, and we're up against it right now, so we'll get into the Raptors and whether you're buying into the Scottie Barnes rumors, because it's amazing, guys, if you think about it. Like, you know, Cunningham came on strong, not in the tournament, but like he carried Oklahoma State, and he played amazing basketball. But there was a lot of thought. Yeah, 1-2, like Jalen Suggs is number two. Jalen Suggs did nothing wrong. In fact, he had a great tournament. He didn't even quit when they were losing in a championship game, and his stock has dropped, which I find very, very interesting. So we're breaking down the NBA draft, man. We got free agency around the corner starting on August the 2nd, except you know, they already talking. They ain't waiting. They're not waiting until August 2nd. More with Pete Kanapolis on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Race Late Night continues. I am Gabe Morenzi. We're talking NBA basketball, the NBA draft. I want to get to some Olympics. Pete Annapolis with us, RDS television analyst. So, Pete, the Raptors are always the most secretive team in sports. You never know what they're really up to. There were reports that the Raptors had inquired to the Cavaliers about what it would take to move up just that one spot to swap one pick, because though the Raptors did like Mobley, Mobley has said a lot of nice things about the Raptors and how he'd love to play for the Raptors. But so is Jalen Suggs. And as I was saying going into the last break, Jalen Suggs had a great tournament. And you talk about a modern NBA player. Suggs does everything too, right? I mean, he can shoot. He can defend. He can lead a fast break. He can hit free throws. He's got that competitor streak in him as well. Another blue-collar type of kid from Minnesota and the Minneapolis area. Lot to like about Jalen Suggs. And he almost just seems like he's a Raptor, born to be a Raptor.
I would agree. And we asked Bobby Webster, the general manager of the Toronto Raptors, today on the conference call whether he wants to trade up or potentially trade down. And what he said is a lot easier, a lot simpler to trade down than to trade up in the NBA draft. So I think that tells you a lot about what it takes to give up pieces. I think the Toronto Raptors, it's interesting. They're in Tampa Bay, so they couldn't bring in these players in Toronto. So we asked them, how could they love the city? And he said, well, we have a Toronto virtual room in Tampa Bay, so they can see the restaurants, the city. Toronto has changed. It's become a destination. I think Jalen Suggs will be an outstanding player for the Toronto Raptors. It would fit into all the development process that they've had. When you look at the guys and DeMar DeRozan and Fred VanVleet and Siakam and Chris Boucher, they take players that are top level, make them much better. And, you know, DeRozan was, you know, a ninth pick, top 10 pick out of USC. You know, he's become a prolific scorer. I believe that Suggs is the perfect fit to replace Kyle Lowry. For everybody that wants to keep Kyle, that is not the move that the Toronto Raptors need to do. Kyle Lowry is going to go down as arguably the greatest Raptor of all time. But right now, what they need to do is sign and trade him and get some assets back. And then the backcourt of the future will be Jalen Suggs and Fred VanVleet. And I think that Suggs fits into the way he plays defense. He's athletic. He gets at the rim. He's tough. He makes big shots, half-court shots, game-winning shots. This kid could have been the number one pick. Is a shooting suspect somewhat? When you really look and dissect every single shot that the kid took this year at Gonzaga, yeah, you might think that, you know what, he needs some work. But, you know, as good as some shooters were in college this year, it doesn't mean they'll be as good as the NBA. And the ones that you didn't think were that great in college might be even better than the NBA. Jalen Suggs, to me, is what you need. Size at 6'4". He's a guy that could score. He reminds me of a young Jason Kidd, more of a uphill, downhill type player that could get to the rack. He's a winner. He's tough. He's everything. He's going to be a star in this league.
Indianapolis so Evan Mobley's minus 370 to be the third pick. Hard to bet that. Then you get to Jalen Suggs, minus 230. Guys, there was value last week, but we lost it. I did bet this over the weekend, but Jalen Suggs to be the fourth pick. So there's been talk about Scotty Barnes. Listen, Leonard Hamilton has become like the number one pipeline to the NBA right now as far as NBA GMs and scouts are concerned for like steals and athletes. I mean, look at Patrick Williams. He was a backup with FSU, and he kills it in the NBA. So people like the athleticism and the versatility of what Scotty Barnes brings to the table. There was talk that the Raptors love him, but the Raptors need some more offensive skill on their team. They're already kind of a gritty team to begin with, so I wasn't really buying in. Scotty Barnes, to be the fifth overall pick, is minus 260. What's your take on Scotty Barnes? And is there any chance that some of the reports were true that the Raptors like Scotty Barnes, or do you think Scotty Barnes goes 5 to Orlando?
No, the Raptors do like him, and I think most NBA teams and the teams that I've spoken to think that he is the prototypical 3-and-D guy, versatile defender. Tough.
Another big kid, 6'8", too, yeah. Only 19.
He's going to fit in any type of team in terms of bringing that winning culture. He's got the relentless work ethic you mentioned from Florida State. They develop great pros. I think it's interesting here for Orlando. They have picks number 5 and number 8. It looked like Jonathan Kumunga was going to be that guy, but the way Scotty Barnes has been able to shoot the ball and the way they're seeing, the way he speaks in the interviews. I mean, when you're investing, you know, $10, $15, $20 million in some of these first-round picks, and then subsequently, you know, the larger type of deals, you want to make sure that they're going to represent your franchise in the best possible way. We have a complete rebuild in Orlando. There's going to be patience. So you don't need to have the slam dunk guys that you need to win right away. But this is a guy that fits into what they want to do and having great players on and off the court. In Orlando, it's a safe pick. Not as talented offensively. I echo your sentiments. But it's a guy that looks like he could be there. I think that there's some maybe other guys that are more talented offensively. That's a decision that Orlando are going to have to make. But it looks like Barnes could be that guy. You can't go wrong with him. I'm not quite sure if he's a all-star type player down the road.
Pete, it's interesting how guys' stock can rise or fall without playing a game. And Franz Wagner out of Michigan, his stock has climbed. So FanDuel have a prop up. Will a player be drafted in the top 10? Wagner is a minus 650 right now. So it's a slam dunk. You'll have to lay $650 to win $100 that he goes in the top 10. So he has risen. A guy that has fallen a little bit, and I was talking with somebody the other night, Chris Monter, that covers the NBA draft, and you know he's a big college basketball guy. And we were talking about Davion Mitchell, and he said there were some physical issues with, you know, just when he showed up for the physical, you know, maybe he wasn't as healthy as they would like. There was maybe a few red flags, and it's actually whatever they did, and maybe it's a smokescreen, Pete, but it worked because now all the mock drafts don't have Mitchell going in the top 10. You know, I'm seeing him going from, you know, 12, 14, 15 in that neighborhood, et cetera. And FanDuel have Mitchell out of Baylor, plus 184 to be top 10. what's your opinion on Mitchell and the appearance that his stock has dropped a little bit here?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I spoke to a vice president of personnel of a top 10 NBA team, and what he told me is, don't believe the mock drafts, right? He says that's all about the agents feeding the guys that run the mock drafts. Some teams are going to put in some stuff. Things could go wild in this draft. I think when it starts after number four, I think Orlando is going to dictate where the draft's going to go. There's no question about it that a guy like Mitchell, after his performance in the NCAA tournament, everybody's saying, hey, if you have a great tournament, your stock's going to go up. The guy literally won the national championship, right? I think he's a little bit, you know, undersized, not as athletic, but he's tough. Is he going to be Kyle Lowry, potentially? You know, you want him to be a guy that could lead a team, that could understand pick and rolls, distribute, facilitate for his teammates. I just think that when you look at this kid and the intangibles that he brings, the way he could defend, the way he galvanized that Baylor program, Scott Drew lets them play in that freestyle system. I still think if you need a point guard and you're anywhere between 5 and 15, I think Mitchell's that guy. But again, there's a lot of good players, you know, available. But when you look at a point guard that could get to the basket, get to the free throw line and shoot the three, and he's tough, And you know how teams value toughness, Mitchell's going to be a good, very serviceable NBA first-round player.
Pete, we got a couple of minutes left before we get you out of here. FanDuel have props up for players over-under. Cameron Thomas out of LSU, over-under 21.5. The people I talk to think this kid's kind of a sleeper, very athletic, 6'4", still very young as well. I don't know if he lasts at 22. What's your opinion on Cam Thomas out of LSU? You like him?
The athleticism is off the charts. And when you look and you combine the age, and again, being a